Okay, welcome to tonight's presentation talking about positive parenting. Just two introductory notes. The first is that I'm certainly not an expert or anybody who is an authority on anything, especially Jewish parenting. I suspect my kids would corroborate that. So I'm not here as an expert. I'm here as somebody who is exploring and learning, and am happy to share with you some of the things that I've come across from my teachers and things that I aspire to in my own life as a Jewish parent. And I look for Siyata Dishmaya in this endeavor, which we'll talk about a little more in a bit. And the second thing is that what we're going to share tonight are not necessarily any novel ideas, no great chidushim, but Devarim Yiduim, things that are probably worth reviewing as we explore the idea of Jewish parenting. So I think we should begin recognizing and validating the challenge of great parenting. There's a very striking Gemara in Maseches Moikot and Daf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that Bane Chai Umizone, that children, life, and means, mazon, food, are la bizchusa talya milsa. They are not dependent on a person's merits, rather they are tole ella bemazla. They are dependent on a person's mazel. Now tonight is not the time to go into all the details of what exactly it means that you have something called mazel, that is the fortune that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a particular person. But the idea is, on some level, that a person could be a great tzaddik, a great gon, a great Talmud Chacham, an incredibly pious and righteous person, and they may not have it easy when it comes to bonei chayim zonei, children, livelihood, and health. Look at Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps you could arguably call him the super Jew of all time. And yet, unfortunately, his children didn't follow exactly the same stature and the same level of piety and the same greatness that he was. And perhaps Aaron, who, although in this week's parasha, the Torah kind of, Rashi indicates they were on, in certain respects, they were on equal footing, but we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, in many respects, was much greater than Aaron, but Aaron's children were Mamali Makomo. They followed in his footsteps, and Moshe Rabbeinu looked toward that with, I don't want to say envy, but he wasn't jealous, but it's something that he would have wished for himself. And he, Moshe Rabbeinu, we see, didn't have such a tremendous hatzlacha, if we could say, based on the words of Chazal, with his own children, with his own descendants. And the Rashba in Etshuva points out that this Gemara doesn't need to be taken as extremely as it might first seem. It doesn't mean that it's completely tolei mazel. The Rashba says, well, there's a difference between the individual and the community, because the Torah does give us many haftachos, many promises about these areas of bonei chayim zonei, and he says that refers to those promises, refer to the merit on the communal level, not on the individual level. But the Ritva, Rabbeinu Yom Tov al-Savili, this very important Spanish commentator on the Gemara, the Rabbeinu Yom Tov al-Savili, and that Gemara Katan says, no, it's not legamri, it's not completely tolei and mazel, but a schus gadol can affect it. A schus gadol can affect children. And I think the main way to look at this, perhaps, is based on another Gemara on the end of Maseches Nida, where the Gemara is discussing different issues, including ones that relate to children. And the Gemara has an expression, ha beloha lo sagi. This without this is not enough. What is it talking about? It's talking about the efforts, the hishtadlus, the personal human input that is necessary, and the idea of tefillah. So when it comes to parnasa, you know, ha beloha lo sagi. It's not enough just to go for a job interview. A person needs to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the Rabbanu Shalom into their lives, to daven Pasiyata Dishmaya. But davening alone is also not enough. Ha beloha lo sagi. It's not enough just to daven. You got to make a hishtadlus. And the same thing goes for parenting. And I wonder if in this context, when the Gemara says bonei chayim zonei, it doesn't just mean physical children. It means raising Jewish children. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shalita points out that the idea of pru revu, the idea of having Jewish children, doesn't just mean the biological procreation process. It means raising them to be Jewish people who follow in the footsteps of our Masorah, of our tradition, of Halacha, and of Torah true Judaism. And that perhaps in Europe, sometimes were fulfilled by people who couldn't have their own children by contributing to an orphanage or a yeshiva katana or a yeshiva where they were raising Jewish children. So perhaps in that respect, that's really what we're talking about tonight. It's not just the having the children, but raising Jewish children. And the idea from this Gemara is that we need a tremendous amount of siyat d'shmaya. We need to daven for it, like the Gemara says in Nida, but we also need to recognize, like the Gemara says in Moed Katan, that it's not always going to be so easy and it's not something that we can always control. We're going to do our best, but we need to validate the fact that it is a challenge. In terms of parenting itself, it's not surprising, it's actually important that we take note that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, models the idea of being a parent. And perhaps that's why he wants us to view him sometimes as an Av and sometimes as an Av. He wants us to view him as a parent, as Avinu Av Harachamam, as a father, but also, as the Navi describes, Meirachim Ben Mitna, as a mother who has compassion for her child. So as HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us, we are his children, he is our parent, we can learn something about parenting. We can learn many things of parenting about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that the Gemara tells in Maseches Kiddushin that there are Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam. There are three partners in the creation of a child, the two parents and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos that relate to parents. And those mitzvos also relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is the mitzvah of Mora, Av Ve'Em, of having an element of awe and Yira from our parents, similar to the concept of Yiras Shamayim. And then there is the mitzvah of Kibud Horim, honoring our parents, servicing our parents, giving them, you know, food or drink or clothing, the things that they need, taking care of them, which is parallel perhaps to the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. So this relationship between us and our parents, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore conversely between our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, between our parents and us and our children, is one that encompasses two components. There is the Kibud, the Ava, the love, and then there is the Mora, the limits, the restrictions, the sense of awe, the respect. And those are two elements which Dr. David Pelkovitz, the renowned psychologist, my teacher, Rabbi Movik in psychology, and Rabbi Rafal Pelkovitz, full disclosure, Nechama's grandmother's husband, Rabbi Ralph Pelkovitz, rabbi for many years in the White Shul in Far Rockaway, they collaborated on a book called Balanced Parenting. What does it discuss? The subtitle is about love and limits. Love and limits. These are the two concepts that they talk about from a religious and psychological standpoint in this great book, Balanced Parenting. And these are what we see are the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays out for us in his relationship with us, as we are his children, and therefore models for us to be as parents. So there is love and there are limits. The love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ahavti Eskem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us constantly that he loves us, that we are his children, that he believes in us. Every single day we say in the morning, in our Moda Ani, we say, Rabba Emunasecha, which doesn't just mean we have a lot of faith in God as we wake up. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has faith in us. He believes in us. He trusts us. And he wants a relationship with us. There is an element of love. And Dr. Pelkovitz points out that this is essential because rules without relationship, he likes to say, equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. So the first element here is love. And that's the way we feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what we need to provide for our children. In addition, though, there are limits. Why are there limits? Because the limits are there to benefit us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. He wanted to give us merit. He wanted to create a meaningful life for us on a spiritual level, but also L'tov Lach, that we should have a good life. And therefore, he gave us limits. There's love, and there are limits. And that's why there are restrictions in Halacha, and there are guidelines, and there are parameters, because it's for our benefit. It's so amazing that just a few days ago, it was reported that Jana Partners and one of the other major stakeholders in Apple, between the two of them, these are $2 billion stakeholders in Apple Corporation, and they did something very unusual. They wrote an open letter to the board of directors of Apple. And what are they talking about? They're sharing concerns about how Apple products, iPhones and similar technologies that Apple is purveying in the marketplace, are negatively affecting kids. And they're calling on Apple to provide parents with better tools of how to navigate technology with their children. So here you see, even in an age when autonomy is paramount, we're still seeing that there is some pushback even from the private sector in this unusual move to tell perhaps one of the most popular companies in the world to say, wait a second, there need to be limits. Because when there aren't limits, look at the deleterious effects that it has on kids. And they quote various studies that describe the effects, even including, Rahman al-Islam, effects that go far as suicides, God forbid, in terms of the emotional impact that extreme use of technology could have. The limits are important. So too, when we relate to our children, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us with love and limits, we're going to relate to our children with love and limits. And in that context of this relationship of love, we also need to take note of one other aspect in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and believes in us. Because the Rambam tells us in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva that one of the core fundamental principles of Judaism is the concept of Bechira Chafshis, of free will. And therefore the Rambam tells us in Halacha Beis that every person could be as great a tzaddik as Moshe Rabbeinu. We have kemat unlimited potential, you could say. And this is written, the Rambam teaches it to us in the context of Hilchos Tshuva, to tell us that no matter where we've been and what we've done, we can make it right, we can do tshuva, and mend our ways. So this is a really important perspective that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on us, his children. The idea that tshuva kadma le'olam, that we can become different people and grow and develop into the kind of person that we are and that we want to be. So that's the way we need to look at our children. There is a great book called Mindset by Carol Dweck, where she lays out two frameworks. One is called a fixed mindset. In that case, a person doesn't really believe in their ability to change or to grow. And therefore, whenever they make a mistake, whenever they fail at something, that's not just a failure. That says something about that person. If I made a mistake, if I failed, that means that I am a failure, because that's who I am. And that's why, perhaps in many cases, I'm not going to take risks. Because if I take risks, I may fail. And if I fail, that says that I'm a failure. The other way to look at myself is in a growth mindset. That, as Dr. Pelkovitz likes to talk about, setbacks are feedbacks. A setback, it's a failure, but that doesn't mean that I am a failure. It means that I didn't succeed in this circumstance. I need to learn from this. How am I going to grow? How am I going to navigate it so that next time I can be more successful? The Rambam's telling us we believe in Bechira Chafshis. We believe in a growth mindset. That's what the Rabbon Shalom lays out for us in the world. And therefore, for our children, as part of our relationship, when we look at them, we need to see tremendous potential. We need to see the opportunity, and especially when they make mistakes, which Ain Sadik Ba'aretz Asher Yasu Tovu Lo Yechta. Everybody's going to make mistakes, just like we as parents will make mistakes, and we need to confront those mistakes. We need to own them. So our kids are going to make tons of mistakes. So when we see those mistakes from our kids, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, aha, you made a mistake, you are a failure. Quite the opposite. The Rabbon Shalom says, you made a mistake, well, it's a growth opportunity. So too, we need to see growth opportunities for our kids. So number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us love and limits, so that's what we need to show for our kids. And number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in a growth mindset for us, and that's what we need to believe for our kids. There is a beautiful and very powerful insight on parenting in the introduction of... It's a beautiful insight on parenting in the introduction to the Sefer Chovos HaTalmidim, authored by the great Piasetzner Rebbe Hashem Yikom Damo Zchus Yagon Aleinu. The Piasetzner Rav Shlomo Kolonimus Kalman Shapira was a great Hasidic master in this small suburb of Warsaw in Piasetzner. In the late 1920s, early 1930s, 1932, he published this incredible work for high school students called Chovos HaTalmidim. It's been translated twice in English, called A Student's Obligation. And in the introduction, he addresses parents. And he introduces us to a concept which is decades ahead of its time and is now the given best practice in Jewish education, in general education, and that is called child-centered education. The Rebbe says that Shlomo HaMelech, way back in Mishlei, taught us Chanoch Lanar al pi darko, gam ki yaskin lo yasu mimena. Educate a child according to his way, so that when they become older, this child will not leave that path. He says Chinuch is about bringing out the potential of each individual child. This is going to be our goal as parents. And it's not an easy thing. It requires patience and attentiveness and focus and thoughtfulness to think about our child and think about what are the special qualities, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, what is unique about this child. And so we need to focus on that child to bring out their potential. What are the opportunities that we need to provide for them? What are the cautionary things that we need to be conscious of? What are the things that we can do to support them? We need to be focused on child-centered education. But perhaps one thing that we don't always think about is self-awareness for ourselves before we do that. Because, of course, we need to understand our child, but to appreciate what it means to relate to our child, we have to understand ourselves. What kind of a parent am I? What kind of a person am I? How does my MO, how does my modus operandi affect the kind of environment that my child is in and affect my interactions? Let's give a simple example. You know, I'm certainly not a perfect parent, and there are many instances where I get frustrated or, you know, things are not the way that I would want them to be. So let's say one Sunday afternoon, just for example, one of the kids does something wrong and I get really upset about it. I'm angry about it. So that's already a bad mead to the Ramahal tells us in Hilchos Deos, you should never be angry. You can only display anger. You shouldn't be angry. But I have to ask myself a question. Wait a second. Is the reason that I'm angry about this mistake that my child made, is it because I'm frustrated that they made this mistake? Am I disappointed in them? Or is it really, I'm just angry because I'm overtired, because I didn't go to sleep the night before on time, or because I had to wake up earlier, or I was traveling, or something like that? One of the issues Dr. Pelkovitz talks about is the idea of anger in parenting. And I think part of that really comes back to, what's the purpose of this interaction? Is my frustration with my child because of my child, or really is it just because of me and I'm projecting? So before I can get to understanding my child, I need to understand myself. Where am I coming from? How was I brought up? What kind of parenting styles did I observe? And so am I imposing those on my own child? Are those good and healthy, or are they not healthy? And then if I am frustrated, I have to figure out, is it because of me, and is it about him? And then even if we say, well, it's about him and I want to deal with it, or her, my child, my son or my daughter, I need to think about, well, how am I going to react? So two things. Dr. Pelkovitz likes to quote a story from Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz, the Heilige Kamenitzer, the Rav Baruch Ber, who apparently had an anger hat in his closet. And he would only get angry when he wore this hat. Which was a great etzah, because by the time he got to the hat and he got it back and he got it on and he got back to his child, he wasn't so angry anymore. He was able to get a hold of himself. The best way to deal with these things, Dr. Pelkovitz talks about, are planned conversations. Not in the heat of the moment. When you're upset or the child is upset, as you take a time, we're going to say, let's talk about this later. And that gives us the opportunity to reflect, A, where the child is coming from, what brought about this meltdown, why did the child get into this problem in the first place, but also it gives us an opportunity to pull back and hold ourselves in check. So we need to create opportunities for child self-centered education. So first we need to think about our own self-awareness. Why are we parenting the way that we're parenting? To understand ourselves. And then we need to understand where our child is coming from, what their milieu is, what their strengths are, and try to bring out their strengths, mina koach lepol, as the Piasetzner describes in the introduction to the Chovas HaTalmidim, to help that child get on their own feet so they can walk in their path in terms of Avodas Hashem. Another thing that we can consider as we think about parenting is something that comes back to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us, and that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the ultimate role model. We don't really understand, what does it mean, God? It's such an abstract idea. It's Or Ein Sof. It's limitless energy and light. But we do know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests himself in the world in a certain way so that we can imitate him. That's V'halachta B'drachav, Mahu Afata. Just like he is compassionate, so we act with compassion. So that's true for us as parents as well. The way that we act, that's the way that our children are going to act. We are going to be the role models for them. If we just tell them, then they're not going to listen. They're going to learn from what we do, not from what we say. And this is also true, even a more subtle way, on a more sophisticated level, in terms of what our values are. You know, we may profess certain values, but there's an expression, ish lefi mahalalo, a person according to their praise. What does it mean, a person according to their praise? It could be a person is judged based on the way that others praise them. So that's certainly important in terms of the way that we treat other people, the way that, you know, are we, you know, Mu'uravim Abrios, how do we act towards others? But some point out that Ishlafi Mahalo, a man is measured according to what he or she praises. You know, if we tell our kids that we're so excited about Judaism and we think that we should value it tremendously, but the only thing that we talk about is money or sports or Hollywood stars or things like that, if that's all that we're praising, that ultimately the message that we're sending is, well, those are the things that are important. It doesn't mean that we can't have conversations about lots of things in society or in the world or finance or culture or sports. But the question is, let's look at ourselves and think about how are we sending the messages to our kids? Is this the dominant part of our conversation? Is this what every Shabbos table conversation looks like? Or no, do we educate our kids by modeling for them, discussing Torah topics or topics of substance and value, educating our kids by talking about Jewish role models? You know, how many kids, there's an interesting essay that was published recently online by a certain teenager who asked the question, coming from our community, how many kids know the names of celebrities and sports figures and rock stars, and how many of these same kids know the names of the great gedolim of our generation, of the rabbeim that we grew up with, or of previous generations? So that's an ish lefi mahalo. If we're going to role model for our kids what yadus, passionate, committed, engaged Judaism looks like, then that's going to need to be reflected both in our actions and in our attitudes. In conclusion, because this presentation is specifically through Neely for the wonderful mothers in our community, I would note that there is a machlokas rishonim, there's a big debate about whether or not there is a formal mitzvah of chinuch, of educating a child for a mother. Is that strictly a father's obligation, or is it also a mother's obligation? And there's a discussion in the Gemara in Sukkah where Hilani Hamalka took her children into the Sukkah. So it's a question, is that a formal obligation? Is it something that nice that she was doing? But I once heard a vort in the name of the great Gaon, the late Tzaddik Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Levracha. And I remember where I saw it, I hope it's true. But Rav Shlomo Zalman apparently distinguished between this mitzvah of chinuch, which is the formal obligation to educate children to do specific mitzvos, versus the general concept of inaugurating and acculturating and habituating and teaching and molding children into the path of a life of Torah, of creating an environment of Torah, of nurturing children through the life of Torah. So even if you would argue that mothers are not obligated, strictly speaking, in the narrow mitzvah of chinuch as it relates to specific mitzvos, but obviously the concept of chinuch on a d'orais, on a biblical level, in general, the v'shinantam levonecha, the idea of inspiring our kids to choose, uvachart b'chaim, to choose our passionate and committed life of Avodas Hashem, that of course is shared equally between both parents. For those who have, you know, the mother and the father, in the case where it's just a mother, so then the entire responsibility is on the mother. But mothers play a unique and important role in this mitzvah of chinuch, of nurturing our kids. Because, this is only a typology, but Rav Soloveitchik develops the whole idea of a Masorah of the Imahos in his Hesped for the Tolner Rebbetzin, published in the 1970s, about for the late Rebbetzin Rivka Twersky, where he talks about what he learned from his own mother of the experience of Judaism, of the feeling, of the love. So when we talk about parenting our children, so Rashi points out in Parshas Kedoshim that oftentimes children feel more connected emotionally from a nurturing standpoint to their mothers. Obviously, it's not exclusively one gender or the other, but predominantly, Rashi says, Ish imo v'aviv tiro v'shabsosai tishmoru. Rashi points out that there is an element of closeness, of nurturing, of warmth that a child feels in connection with their mother. So that gives the mother the opportunity to provide, number one, in general, this warmth and support and nurturing and love that's going to carry the child through their entire life. But also, as a Jewish parent, as a positive Jewish parent, that means that that mother has the opportunity to provide a religious milieu, a spiritual context, the same way that Rav Soloveitchik says he remembers his mother reviewing the Parsha, how she arranged the house for Shabbos. These are things that left a lasting impression on him and taught him what he said is the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life, which he said is to feel the gentle pressure of the gentle pressure of the Almighty and his hand resting upon our frail shoulders. That's a paraphrase. But ultimately, it's that warmth, more than any specific mitzvah that we, I think many of us, remember over the course of our lives. So thinking in terms of what is our goal as a Jewish parent, and certainly as a Jewish mother, it's how do we make sure to provide that celebratory, nourishing, warm, and wonderful opportunity for our child to grow up and find their place. So we started tonight talking about the challenge of parenting, which is real, and we're going to look for Siyata Dishmaya, but we're going to try to find best practices. Habalo halo sagi, we need both. We look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our parent, and therefore as our role modeling in parenting, to create a relationship of love and limits, and also seeing our children with a growth mindset. We understood, as the Rebbe said, that we need to look to our children as little potential, little balls of potential, little circles of just boundless energy that's within them that we need to help step out into the world and grow in their own way. Chanoch l'nar al pi darko. So that understanding of our child is our goal, but to do that, perhaps we need to think about ourselves first and understand why are we interacting with our children in a specific way. So take ourselves in hand and really think about how we have those conversations with our children, managing our frustrations and anger and creating planned conversations, the importance of role modeling, and specifically ish lefi mahalo, not just the things that we do, but the values that we express, sometimes even non-verbally, for our kids to pick up. And finally, the unique role of mothers to provide the general chinuch, the environment in which we want to nourish our kids, both emotionally, but also spiritually, of course, spiritually as they grow into the children, and then ultimately the adults who follow, hopefully, in our footsteps in the Ruach Yisrael Saba, to be healthy, well-adjusted Avdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great night.